You're listening to Strictly Business Podcast with Lindsay Williams.
JAC has closed its doors for another day, and as it's a Thursday, it's the double-headed Dream Team edition of the 5 o'clock shadow with Viv Govender from Rand Swiss. I nearly said Taylor Swift there, but Rand Swiss. It sounds very similar. And David Shapiro, of course, from Sasfin Securities. Now, I want to start with economic data, David, with you, and then we'll move on to Viv when it comes to Alibaba, which is interesting. But the S&P up 1.25%. What's been happening?
Data. It's what's happening is good news is now good news. So retail sales come out, which surprises on the upside. And what it does identify is that the people are still spending, that there's not really any weakness in the U.S. economy. It's quite resilient. Also, the job claims falling, showing that the job market is not collapsing, no big layoffs. So all the fears about the recession, I think, have just been put aside for the meantime. So we're back to the soft landing. It also means that you're not going to get any urgent need to reduce rates. But what I mean by that, they will reduce rates probably by 25 pips in September, but not by 50. So on the back of that, I think the bond rates have gone up. You know, the 10-year has picked up a little bit because it won't be 50 points down and so on. So I think generally I'm surprised at the strength that we're seeing in markets. Add to that, we had a PPI that surprised on the downside, and the CPI, which is the consumer price index, also moving in the right kind of direction, if I can summarize it, you know, very briefly. So I think it's all converged to make people feel a little better. The S&P is back at 5,500, which is only 100-odd and a bit points from its all-time high. So party time again, Lindsay.
Oh, it's good news. Yeah, that blip was... Yes. Everyone talks about, it's the jobs number, yes, the non-farm payrolls. But it wasn't. It was Japan raising interest rates, and we know that.
Yeah.
But people like to, especially the Trump supporters who happen to have got a job as an economist, talk about that jobs number. It's nothing to do with that at all. It was the storm that was created by interest rates going in different directions in important economies. So let's put that to bed. Now, what about Alibaba, Viv? Because Alibaba is the China Amazon, but it's going heavily into AI, which is your field of expertise, one of them.
Alibaba's earnings were down. The revenue is under pressure because the Chinese consumer is seeing a stagnant economy. This is a really dangerous thing. I mean, historically, if you look at what really causes, unrest, it's not when things are bad. It's when things have been going well for a while and then turn bad. You know, if things were always bad, you don't really find people doing much about it. But if things have been going well, people have hopes in their heart or whatever, and then they turn bad, and that's when you find, more unrest happening. So if you look at Bangladesh recently, I know it's not like normally on the news thing, but Bangladesh is a huge country, it's a significant population of people. It's a massive, rising part of South Asia. It was, in fact, the best performing part of South Asia for the last couple of decades. And then they had a bit of stagnation, and next thing you know, there's a revolution, and they kick out the leader, and he's running away out of the country. And I think China is also experiencing something like that. I don't know if they're going to do something as drastic as what happened in Bangladesh, but it is an interesting to note. But Alibaba's results are showing stagnant consumption. They are being one area of positivity there, which is cloud, which is, of course, like I said, linked to AI, like you mentioned. Speaking of AI, I think Huawei came out with a new AI chip this week as well. There's always been the danger when the U.S. tried to basically sanction the Chinese. It's easy to sanction a small country like, South Africa or something. But even in South Africa, when the South African government was sanctioned, what they did was start building their own local, armory and whatnot. You try and sanction a country as big and as a large economic base as China does, especially a large manufacturing base. The significant danger, all you do is, jumpstart a local manufacturing, sector. So Huawei is doing it. We're seeing Alibaba getting involved in it. AI is taking off, I think, big time in China, but unfortunately, the consumer at the moment is not doing great.
Okay.
I know when I looked at the results, they seem to be fairly decent. I'm just looking, the share price was down. That might have been before the numbers were released. I'm looking at Asia this morning. But if you look at where Alibaba is going, and I've also been watching it for some time and been out of it, but looking for evidence in China that things are improving. But if you summarize it, it seems to be on the right track. Am I reading it wrong or not?
I think they missed estimates. I think that was the big deal there. So, yeah, and look, I mean, quite frankly, Alibaba's share price compared to its revenue has not kind of kept, up here. I do own some of it, just to be like fair about it. And I've always been like, you know, thinking that there has to be something happening here because, you know, the share price has been stagnant for forever. Mm. You know, you can go back multiple years, 5 years, the last 5 years, it's down 61%.
Yeah. Government, but
Yeah. So it's down massively. So I do think that we are seeing, and that's not even the high. And the high, you look from the high till now, it's significantly worse than that. So yeah, I do think that, you know, there is disappointment in China. There is weakness in China. But I'm also not having a portfolio because I do think that import substitution is going to be happening in a very crazy way in China. And if the world's not careful about it, you know, the pressure they're putting on it to, you know, not get AI is going to make them get their own ecosystem up and running much quicker.
Yes, they tend to be very adaptable, and that's without being stereotypical. Now, very new stock in terms of David Shapiro's experience in the market to one very old one, and that's Standard Bank, David. They came out with a set of numbers today. Share price loved it, 6.3% up on my delayed screen just before going into the auction. Big numbers.
I'm surprised. I don't know what I read and what the market reads, but it seemed to be pretty kind of flat. There was nothing to get excited about. I mean, in terms of the raw numbers, I know they increased their dividend beyond the results. In other words, the dividend was up more than we're seeing in the headline numbers and so on, and total income. But, you know, it did reflect a kind of flat economy. There's a lot of fluff around what they say is happening there, and there might be truth to it. But I always look at the underlying economies and say, well, what can they do? You know, what is happening? And, you know, so when I went through the numbers, I said, okay, they're okay. I don't know whether they justified a 6% increase in the share price. Maybe that puts it on a very attractive dividend yield. You know, that could be the reason. That's a yield of over 5%. It might even be more with the current dividend. I'm not sure, you know, whether the whole market was up very strongly and whether this attracted a certain amount of investors saying, you know, banks are looking cheap, things are improving, let's go for it.
Yes.
But I don't know whether the results justify that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. David, I'll ask you a question, right? The banks are incredibly, look at APSA, P ratio of 6.5, dividend yield of 8.8.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm thinking to a certain extent, if the news is like flattish, these things are cheap. Yes, you need to have really bad news to make these things, APSA, Nedbank, you know, Standard Bank, they are all incredibly cheap in terms of P ratio versus and dividend yields. So if I think the news is flat, it does justify a rise because they are pricing almost as if they're going out of business in a decade or so.
I think that's what I'm saying is that I don't, this is, you know, I think it's more a sentiment driven, price increase rather than a direct response to the numbers. What you're saying is exactly right. I mean, if we look across the board today, everything was up. You know, the whole market's going up. So even though the economy's battling, unemployment is rising, commodity prices are still falling. You know, things are rough. But there's a very strong mood in markets at the moment. And, if you look at banks, if you look at even on the consumer side of it, so there's buying coming in on the strength of, okay, things are going to look up in the global economy and therefore let's buy these banks. They're cheap.
So objectively, I'll give you a company with a 6.5 P ratio and an 8.8% dividend yield. You would think this is a high risk investment, right?
Yeah.
It's APSA.
Yeah, I know. They don't lend money. No one lends money. That's why they do it so well. So they've got no risk. But I'm not criticizing them. I'm glad. What I am saying is that, you know, when you go through the results and you look there, it does show you how tough things are. And I think the whole week I've been going through numbers like that where things are very, very tough, you know, particularly looking at Northam yesterday, looking at Azara today as well. You know, those identify some very difficult problems in the economy, which we have to address, which are probably going to translate into lower profits for the fiscus, you know, for tax collection. So, you know, I don't think the revenue people are getting excited about Standard Bank's results. You know, they would like a little bit more profit, you know.
Anyway, I think what you're saying here is that today's action, for example, is purely globally driven. It's not driven by Standard Bank's spectacular results and a special dividend or anything like that. It's simply because it's hanging on the coattails of the rest of the market, and the rest of the market is hanging on the coattails of the S&P and everything else that's going up. Zara wasn't great. It was down, 3 2/3%, and that's flying in the face of resources, which are, as an index, up about 1.5%. One little stock, David, because you were talking to me about smaller stocks the other day, or was it Wayne, or both of you? I don't remember. But anyway, Avenge. Did you see the performance of the share price yesterday, 16% higher? Well, did you see that?
Well, it's now an Australian construction company.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it does. It's most of its affected reports in Australian dollars. It doesn't report in Rand anymore. It's still an enormous, you know, this was one of the premier construction businesses that came out of the Anglo-Vaal Industries. You know, this was LTA. It was a huge business. I mean, we'd shrunk very, very fast. And they're clawing their way up. You know, but most of the profit now comes from Australia. They seem to be getting contracts there. Locally, they've got Moolmans, which is a mining company. You know, so it's okay. But I think it's come from such a low base. That's why it's up. But, Lindsay, we see 16% every day. I mean, and I think these kind of things go up and down 16% because of the low price and low liquidity.
Yeah.
But it's on the right track. You know, I mean, it's going to take a long time. It's never going to get close to where it was simply because there's just no spend in South Africa on fixed investment.
So this sounds like another company that's going to leave the JSE because most of its business is done outside of the borders of the Republic.
Yeah, one day it's going to happen. You know, one day it's the fact when they start reporting in Australian dollars, you've got to know, okay, that's where they're making their money.
Well, I'll say one thing for them, that they adapted and had a look at what was going on in South Africa and said, okay, we've got this opportunity presented to us in Australia, let's go for it. I mean, it doesn't always happen. Sometimes, as we well know, as Woolies knows, for example, it falls very flat, but this time, well done to them. Okay, gentlemen, let's have a look at the spot prices now, where the Rand is just flirting with going down below 18 to the US dollar. British pound against the Rand is 23.16. Euro Rand is 19.78. Euro dollar is, it's just below 110 now. It's been hovering above 110 for most of the week. British pound 128.70 after the UK GDP numbers came out two quarters in a row. Yeah, 0.6%. I mean, it's predictably underwhelming, but at least it's growth. Gold price, $24.57, which is $17 higher. Platinum up $41 an ounce to $9.69. And palladium, $9.38, which is $18 or 2% to the good. But platinum is the one that's really done well there. Elsewhere, commodities. The oil price, after its recent surge, is...
They're all
strong. Oh, it's back again. Yeah, it was below 80 this morning. It's now 81.22 for Brent crude, up close to 2%, also close to 2% higher as the West Texas variety, $78.42. Natural gas again, has been on a bit of a run, and again today, 2.75% higher. And, what else have we got? Not much. Oh, copper doing well, 2.5% to the good at $4.14 per pound. S&P 500 futures, as David said earlier. Well, you said 5,500 on the spot. It's 5,553 on the futures. And the high for the year, incidentally, just to put this into context, was 5,721 for the September futures. Okay. So it's less than 200 points away, and we know that the S&P can do a couple hundred points in a week. Now then, the US 10-year Treasury bond, because David predicts it's not going to be a 50 basis point cut on September the 18th, rising, yes, rising quite smartly as well, by 12 basis points to 3.95%, and the South African 10-year, with the stronger rand, not doing that well at all, 9.43%. So it's not following the rand, it's following the overseas bond markets. and Bitcoin is 59,477, which is flat on the day. Viv, have we missed anything out in our chats? Any company news that you want to highlight? Here or there?
Not really. I mean, I think the one thing to be noted is that we pretty much have recovered from that the crash due to Japan last week. But the thing is that if you look into the details of that, it's terrifying just the numbers involved in the Japanese economy and just how bad everything looks going forward. They literally tried to raise interest rates slightly because they have like a 4% inflation rate and they have interest rates at zero. So they have a massive negative real interest rate and it pretty much crashed their market. And they had to pretty much apologize the next couple of days and promise never to do it again. it's an amazing kind of situation happening here. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it is. There's quite an interesting story. Walmart came out with numbers. They're up 6.5%. And there's something that I've been kind of pushing, and I must say, was that, you know, when I thought about it, you know, rates are going to come down, and I thought, I've got this theory that the Carlsbergs, the ABN Bevs, and the Procter and Gamble, they're all having issues promoting their stocks. It used to be easy in the old days, you know, to sell Tide washing powder and so on, but now with TikTok and Instagram and that. You know, it's become more difficult. And if rates are going to go down, my view is, look, rather go for the retailers. Go for Walmart, Costco, Kroger, you know, places like that. And because I think that people are going to be conscious of spending and going to spend down and rather go through the retailers than trying to find what they're going to buy. Because I think, you know, a lot of the major manufacturers or distributors, fast-moving consumer goods, the producers of that, I think they're battling now, you know, battling to get their goods kind of into the market as they used to. So Walmart was up 6.5% on the strength of saying, you know, they're seeing bargain hunters come in. In other words, consumers looking for bargains. And I think it's going to be a theme.
So I think I'm missing your point here, David. You're saying so you don't buy a Procter & Gamble or a Johnson & Johnson.
Yes.
You buy the final distributor of their goods.
That's
and
it.
Their goods.
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
And what's also very interesting, another stock that's up today and why I'm bringing this up as a theme is Ulta Beauty, ULTA Beauty. It's like the good old OK Bazaar. It's like Clicks, but a much bigger version of it in America. They've got stores across the country, which is almost a super retailer of beauty products. You know, it's not cheap, but I mean, if you want a hairbrush, you want shampoo, it's not Sephora, which is owned by LVMH, which is kind of a higher level. And I saw Buffett bought into it.
Ah.
So in his latest filing, it could have been his two juniors, Ted and Todd, that went into it, but it was quite an interesting move, you know, that he went into Ulta Beauty. It's not a company we know very well, but on the same strength that, you know, people are going to probably be looking for bargains, going to look to buy cheaper products and that. So I think it's a theme to look at in, you know, when rates start to come down, understanding where global economies are and perhaps how more cost-conscious consumers are.
Okay, good points. Ulta, I've written that one down. I'm going to keep an eye on it. The share price, of course, must have reacted given the Buffett factor, David.
10.5% up today.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, talking about ups, JSE now. Standard Bank, 6% higher. Pepcor, 3.8%. Sasol has bounced back to 3.75% better. Truworths, 3.5%. And Motors, a 2.9% gain. A downside, Exxaro bucking the commodities trend on the JSE anyway, 3.9% weaker. African Rainbow Minerals also down 2.1%. Kumba Iron Ore the same, 1.75% on the downside, and Redefine down 1.6%. Now, Viv, before we get to the JSE indices with David, every time I turn on a business program on, you know, CNBC or whatever, I see some bloke presenting Gemini, or there's Gemini ads and people talking about Gemini. You're going to have to explain it to me.
Gemini is like the ChatGPT of Google. And I've always said this, and I mean, if you just look at outside the ChatGPT kind of models, the LLMs, Google's DeepMind is doing some incredible things with things like AlphaFold, AlphaProof, and everything called Alpha, quite frankly, is amazing from them. They've gotten a system now that's voice controlled. Like, you know, you can just talk to it effectively. And it's like, I think it's $20 a month on a plan from Google. And obviously Google with the Android phone is going to be, you know, really trying to push this out there because it's a big source of revenue. And I think the company needs this right now because I don't know if you saw there was a court case that went against Google recently, talking about their monopolistic behavior with the search engine.
Yes.
And I think that, you know, in my view is that depending on what the election outcome is, in November, but if Kamala Harris wins, and we keep Lina Khan, she's the head of the FTC in charge. I think we're going to have Google maybe split into three pieces down the line, somewhere down the line. The YouTube is one piece, the search is one piece, and maybe the advertising company is another piece because it's dominant in all three areas. I mean, because I think YouTube by ads makes more revenue than Netflix does. Thinking about its YouTube subscriber services, Google has obviously the 90%+ of the search business, and Google Ads is the kind of the glue that ties everything together, making you know advertising on YouTube and advertising on the search engine so valuable. And I can easily see down the line that somebody's going to come along and think this is a monopolistic company and break it up. But yeah, Gemini is coming out, and another one that came out yesterday as well was Grok. There was a thing from Elon Musk where he puts like a bunch of R's and then the word sus underneath. And that referred to what's called sus column R or R column sus. I don't know how it exactly was. But basically, there was a secret AI system that was being tested in public on this kind of like AI measurement thing. And it was ranking third in terms of the AIs out there. It was just behind the latest version of GPT and the latest version of Google, but just barely behind it, or Gemini. And it turns out that this is the Grok system from XAI, which he launched, remember, about a few months ago. It raised $6 billion on a $24 billion valuation. If you look at if you're on X and look at the stuff out there recently, you're going to find a lot of very, very, you know, risque, very, very controversial pictures. Things like Elon Musk making out with Donald Trump, pictures of.
that's quite close to the truth, apart from the kissing.
Images of Kamala Harris and Donald Trump on an airplane flying into the Twin Towers, talking like that kind of stuff. Pictures of Kamala Harris with a gun and basically covered in blood, shooting a bunch of people. Images of like Mickey Mouse taking cocaine. it's a really wild system. That's coming out. I'm thinking Disney is going to be suing some people, quite frankly.
Yeah, it sounds very, very, very dangerous to me. But thank you for the update, Sir Gemini.
Yeah.
It's been taken off my Christmas list immediately. David, give us the closing JSE indices, please.
Well, it's a pretty good day. let me get to the...
Sorry to wake you.
We were up 1%. Yeah, up 1% at 8226. 8226, which is pretty good. I can't see any red on the screen. All the indices were up. It was driven higher largely by banks, you know, with Standard Bank at the forefront, that up 6%. So the bank index was up 2%. The broader financial index up around about 1.6%. Commodities doing okay. You know, the resource index 1.1%. And if you look at the consumer side of the market, also very strong. Industrial index, although it is only up 0.7%, I think that's largely because the rand weighed down heavily on, you know, all our big industrials. But the consumer side was up 1.8%. So generally a pretty good day. I'm just going to give you the volumes. Volumes haven't been great, eh? And even today, just over 20 billion, and about 21 and a bit billion. The Standard Bank, the big trader, this I haven't seen, you know, kind of maneuvering Standard Bank, 1.7 billion today, making up 9%. So big buying of Standard Bank probably explains why it was up 6%.
Yeah, maybe there's some shorts in there, but ahead of the results, but because that's the usual thing when you get a massive spike in volume, it's people covering and maybe even going long if it's one of those algorithms that as soon as you change direction, you have to go in the other direction. Or as soon as you get out of one position, it means that you don't want to be in that position, so you have to go in the opposite direction. So that doubles the volume. Anyway, gentlemen, thank you very much indeed. Next time we talk, David, will be on Monday after the weekend of football. Viv will switch off when we start talking about that. But I'm absolutely
it's
terrified.
A big weekend.
Oh gosh!
Yes, it is.
It's
Ipswich versus Liverpool. It's Ipswich's first game in the big league
for 22 years.
We're all Lindsay.
Honestly, it won't last. You know, the Premier League is just so concentrated with the money right nowadays. The new guys never ever last.
No, Ipswich will do okay. Out of all those that are there, I think they're well placed.
Okay.
All right. Jolly good gentlemen. Thanks very much for the vote of confidence, Viv. Viv Govender and Rand Swiss in Johannesburg and David Shapiro from Assassin Securities. And that was the 5 o'clock shadow.
Only WhatsApp if they're winning. I'm not going to WhatsApp.
My phone's going off for the day, David. It's Saturday lunchtime. I'm radio silence, I'm afraid. Gentlemen, thank you very much. The views and opinions expressed in these podcasts are those of Lindsay Williams and various contributors and do not reflect the policy, position, or opinion of any other agency, organization, employer, or company associated with strictlybusinesspodcast.com. Assumptions made on the analyses are not reflective of the position of any other entity other than the speaker or the author. And since we are critically thinking human beings, these views are always subject to change, revision, and rethinking at any time. Please do not hold us to them in perpetuity.